Thanks for downloading Friday Night Comedy from BBC Radio 4. If you want to find out more, visit the Radio 4 website. But not before you listen to this week's Now Show. It's called Topical for a reason, you know.
Hello, I'm Steve Punce.
I'm Hugh Dennis.
With us are John Holmes, Nathan Caton, Pippa Evans and Mitch Benn. And this is...
The Now Show!
Thank you very much. Hello, and good news for outer space fans. Pluto is officially a planet again. Yes. Pleased. You see, it was demoted in 2012, but the Harvard Smithsonian Institute in the US are lobbying hard for a vote among astronomers to keep it in the solar system, although there is some controversy over the exact wording of the ballot paper.
Should Pluto be an independent planet?
And the no vote appeared to be comfortably ahead, apart from one poll last Sunday. Now, most people apparently don't want to see the back of the ninth planet, but of course that's not true of everything. There are some things we're all quite happy to see the back of. The boss of John Lewis, for example, was glad to see the back of France. A bit of a diplomatic row ensued when he came back from attending an award ceremony in Paris and told an audience in London about his journey home.
Well, you get on a Eurostar from something I can only describe as the squalor pit of Europe. I've never been to a country more ill at ease. Nothing works, and worse, nobody cares about it.
Now, the Prime Minister of France was not happy about this, and he said...
This business leader has had to apologise. He made some absurd statements. One has to show a bit of respect,
said the garlic-munching surrender monkey.
Anyway, John Lewis will be unveiling their new Christmas TV ad quite soon. I'm sure that's going to smooth things over.
I walked along the Champs-Élysées and it was really, really horrible. Oh, the trains were really smelly. There was rubbish on the telly. Nothing works and nobody cares. Escalier, that means the stairs. If you have a minute, why don't we go?
No, that's enough now.
Talk about it.
No, that's enough. That's enough. I do feel a bit sorry for the French myself. It's all going wrong for them. Disneyland Paris is struggling under a mountain of debt and needs to be bailed out. And to think, people said it wouldn't fit in with European culture.
Of course, there's a difference between Britain's long-standing and deep-seated rivalry with France and any kind of genuine dislike. UKIP voters at this point are staring at their radio in total bafflement, but it's true.
Yeah, and sometimes this kind of ritualistic pretend loathing of something is brought up short when there's a genuine threat, which is why this week the Conservatives' threat to withdraw from the European Court of Human Rights made even some Conservatives go... That's exactly how they went. See, the ritualistic pretend loathing here is to do with the fact that the bill which enacts ECHR law in Britain was passed by Labour, ironically to stop British cases having to go to Strasbourg at taxpayers' expense.
And now we find ourselves in a position where we're considering pulling out of a treaty that we originally wrote in the first place.
Yeah, the first version of which was actually called the Treaty of London.
It's nothing to do with the EU.
And it's enshrined in the law of 47 countries, including...
Russia, so you don't even have to take it that seriously.
So basically, for the sake of a cheap shot at the UKIP vote, we are prepared to put ourselves on a par with Kazakhstan and Belarus. I mean, it's really throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Which, of course, you'd be allowed to do without all this bloody human rights.
Bloody human. Yes, it might take a bit longer to deport the odd suspected terrorist than we might like, but let's just remind ourselves of just some of what the Human Rights Act covers.
The right to life.
The state is required to investigate suspicious deaths and, where relevant, turn them into ITV dramas.
The prohibition of torture.
You should never be treated in an inhuman or degrading way, although if you volunteer for embarrassing bodies, good luck with that.
Protection against slavery.
You should not be subjected to forced labour. The correct terminology is workfare. Get it right.
No discrimination.
Everyone's rights are equal. You should not be treated unfairly because of your gender, race, sexuality, religion, or age.
What about height?
a small Now Show cast member joke is still a small joke. Now, as you can see, most of these things are fairly fundamental to our lives and fairly unpopular with governments, which is precisely why the Act is there. We say we want to see the back of it. I suspect most people don't. What we are happy to see the back of course, is party conference season.
It was the Lib Dems this week whose problem is rather summed up by the fact that only 36% of Lib Dem candidates are planning to have a picture of Nick Clegg on their election literature, opting instead for more likeable and less contentious choices like Simon Cowell or Abu Qatada. Their best bet next May is to do like the Glastonbury Festival and take a year off, have a fallow election and come back next time. Thank God it's all over, though, having to listen to those endless speeches.
And I say to you here today that I will never lie to you. Can I also say how pleased I am to be here in Birmingham?
Then there's Ed Miliband with his mansion tax, which even the Queen's going to have to pay. If we're going to have a royal family at all, we don't want a cash-strapped one who have to cut back on their guards and all the stuff that the tourists love. Nobody's going to stand outside Buckingham Palace to watch this.
Your Majesty, it is my honour as President of the United States to be a guest here today.
Ah, Mr. Obama, I'm going to press the buzzer now. When you hear the click, just push. We're on the third floor.
Of course, spending cuts and new taxes do get people talking, and there's a lot of comment on news sites from the public. And sometimes on the BBC website, they restrict the comments to a very specific group of people.
Have you been affected by this story? Leave your comment here.
And there was a brilliantly specific one this week under a story about how government immigration rules are making it difficult to recruit the best scientists from around the world to come and work in Britain. And then under the story, it said,
are you a foreign scientist?
Really, how much more specific a commenter do you want?
NASA plans to put space travellers into hibernation for a mission to Mars. Are you a sleepy astronaut? Please text us your views.
The head of John Lewis says France is a place where nothing works and no one cares. Are you the French Prime Minister? Please comment below.
Thank you very much.
So, this week, research revealed that short men make the best husbands. Apparently, they're more loving, they're wiser than tall men, they're kind, and let's face it, they're desperate to mate before they're accidentally trodden on. If you'd like to propose marriage, here he is! It's John Hall!
Thank you very much indeed, thank you. So, well, here it is. It's all been going a bit Pete Tong. In Hong Kong, pro-democracy students have spent the last couple of weeks blocking the streets with their bottoms and the tear gas of riot police with their faces as they protest against a lack of promised democracy, which, you know, I don't know, has to be admired, doesn't it? If only because of the dedication of the students. But why all this Hong Kong phooey? Whose fault is this mass sit-in? Is it Sarge?
No.
Is it Rosemary, the telephone operator?
No.
Is it Penry, the mild-mannered janitor?
No.
Is it C.Y. Leung, the third and incumbent chief executive of Hong Kong?
Could be. Hong Kong
phooey! Yep, that actually happened. The Now Show, the topical comedy that uses cartoon references from 40 years ago to make a vague point. So the problem is that China isn't playing by the rules, okay? When the Union flag over Hong Kong was lowered in 1997, promises were made that certain rights and democratic freedoms would be preserved. Yet still the people of Hong Kong have a leader they didn't choose, that no one voted for. And that's difficult to conceive of, isn't it? Here in the West, you know, we can only imagine what it's like to be governed by someone who didn't democratically win an election, yet still put themselves in charge. Hong Kong's chief executive C.Y. Leung's nickname is 689, not as I thought, because he had a pet goose that drank wine, but because he was elected with just 689 of a possible 1,200 votes by a committee controlled by Beijing. And the symbol of the protest against this has become, rather pleasingly, the umbrella. Although, rather less pleasingly, that's because the students have been using them to repel tear gas. It's the first time, I think you'll agree, that the humble brolly has been the emblem of autocracy since Mary Poppins ruled that nursery with an iron fist.
But Mary Poppins, we don't want to tidy up.
In every job that must be done, there is an element of fun. Now pick up these toys or I shall crush you with the troops.
I feel a song coming on.
because I sat down in the street when I was just a lad. The authorities give my nose a tweet and told me I was bad. But then one day I learned a word that saved me tear gas nose. The biggest word I've ever heard, and this is how it goes. Right.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. China's human rights record is really quite atrocious. If we protest loud enough, your pepper spray will choke us. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
When we gave Hong Kong back, it was done at the traditional ceremony of the handover, as opposed to whenever the question of Britain giving certain other places back crops up, which is marked by the traditional ceremony of the stoning of Jeremy Clarkson. So there's been a row about personalised number plates, right? Number plates so personal that if you are Argentinian, then they personally insult you. To be honest, I don't think it was the registration plate that caused the problem. I think it was more the bumper sticker that said, "My other car's a task force." Far from chasing him away, right, I think the Argentinians actually should have let Jeremy Clarkson decide who has the Malvinas, right? I think he's got a system.
Eeny, meeny, miny, ow.
What's more, Richard Hammond, right, even has international form here. That BBC One programme he does, Total Wipeout, OK, you may have seen that, is filmed in Argentina. Right, all this fuss over a number plate with almost the numbers of the year 1982 in it, yet here's a British game show filmed in Falklands War-sensitive Argentina called Total Wipeout. And no one so much as lobs a pebble. What's extra amusing is that Clarkson, Hammond and May were hounded out of South America, seemingly in a scene reminiscent from that bit from The Life of Brian.
If you drive round with a number plate referencing the Falklands once more... Right, who threw that?
The Argentinians, the Argentinians.
No one is to stone anyone until Richard Hammond blows his total wipeout whistle. Even, and I want to make this absolutely clear, if they do say eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
And if nothing else, right, this whole thing has been utterly confusing for the Daily Mail, right? On one hand...
We hate Clarkson. Clarkson must go. Well done, Argies.
Think it through, Daily Mail.
Oh, hang on. We also hate the Argies. Boo, Argies. But we hate Clarkson. But we hate the Argies. Clarkson, Argies, Clarkson, Argies. Does not compute... Ah!
I feel another song coming on.
I drove through Argy land when I was just a lout. Those Argies gave my ass a kick and told me to get out. But then one day I learned a word that saved me from the crowd. The biggest word I've ever heard, and it's time to sing it loud.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Talk is race relations are really quite atrocious. If we display these number plates, the locals, they will stone us. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Thank you!
So, some interesting research recently into what we say when we're not saying anything. Two different researchers, one from Edinburgh University and the other from the University of Pennsylvania, both found that men and older people are more likely to say, while women and younger people are more likely to say, although some young people are more likely to say,
seriously, mate, you get paid for this. Oh, I've got to get a job as a researcher, innit?
Of course, the art of not saying anything is a fine one. We've just seen three conference leaders' speeches which prove that. But it is amazing how often you can tell exactly who is speaking just from the noises they make before they actually speak. Now, here, for example, are the words of some famous people, only with the words cut out. And you can play along at home here. So, who's this?
Look, that's it.
Anyone? Anyone? Yes, the whole audience do that. It was, obviously, the unmistakable Gallic sound of Arsene Wenger searching for the mot juste. Here, however, is a harder one.
Yeah.
Anyone? Hugh Grant, yes. That was Hugh Grant thinking his way through a single edition of Question Time. At least we think it was Question Time. Hugh Grant would sound like that performing a soliloquy from Hamlet, because he's Hugh Grant. Now, who is this?
So, was that Harriet Harman asked if she thought Ed Miliband was doing a good job as leader? Was it Theresa May asked how many immigrants there were in the country?
No, it was, as a few of you correctly surmised, Gurkha-loving National Treasure Joanna Lumley. Now, finally, we thought we should give you a really tricky one.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to work this one out.
Can you unwrap this riddle inside an enigma? Who could this possibly be?
I'll take anything.
The tragedy is, he'd only been asked what day it was.
But of course, once we've finished umming and erring, the actual words we say often don't mean much either. You may have noticed that the word soldiers has disappeared from political vocabulary to be replaced by
boots on the ground.
Which is now apparently compulsory. The ubiquity of
boots on the ground
is a problem for the BBC, though, because it's against their rules on commercial advertising and has to be followed by
other high street chemists are also available on the ground.
It can be difficult for companies when a trademark escapes into general vocabulary. Some you don't even realise. The name breathalyzer, for example, is actually owned by the Indiana University Foundation. It was invented there in 1931 by a professor who brilliantly, originally wanted to call it the drunkometer. Which sounds like a thing Jeremy Vine would be able to use in the next election coverage.
So, with over 40 of their seats gone and on just 6% of the vote, let's have a look at the state of most Liberal Democrats on the drunkometer. Some words just catch on to the point where we're very reluctant to stop using them, even when they no longer really mean anything at all. The papers, for example, still talk about people having a
flat-screen TV.
As if it's a thing of unimaginable opulence found only in the pads of millionaires, whereas, in fact, it's actually been impossible to buy anything except a flat screen for at least 5 years now. So what do you have to say to that, Steve? You see, he's like Ed Miliband. He's just lost without a script.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Pippa Evans.
They say music is a powerful tool, like Rupert Murdoch. That's why I like to use my songs to ask the really important questions in these troubled times. The world's a mess because of global warming. Is it summer, winter, or what? But as the EU fight over quotas, there's one question that I've got. What am I supposed to wear? It's rainy and it's sunny, but looks freezing out there. Put on my coat and start to fret, arrive at meetings drenched in sweater. What am I to wear? What are you supposed to do? Carry your wardrobe around with you, or be like those hardy girls from Newcastle upon Tyne, wear nought but a t-shirt and feel just fine? Or what are we to wear? I know it's not important in the grand scheme of things. We're in an economic crisis, started a war with ISIS. David Cameron's pulling out what's left of his hair. But while the world seems an utter disgrace, the one question that I have to face is, what the hell am I supposed to wear? Yeah!
Now, fresh from his Radio 4 sitcom and off of the telly, please welcome Nathan Caton.
Hello, guys. I want to talk to you guys today about my homie, you know, my bedroom, my brother from another mother, Nick Griffin, right? As you guys are probably aware, he was turfed out of the BNP recently for bringing the party into disrepute, or like destabilising the party, basically, right? Now, I know this might seem a bit weird coming from myself, a black person, but I kind of feel sorry for him. I do, right? I mean, for a few reasons. I mean, firstly, like, what did he do that was so bad that would destabilise the BNP, right? I know people saying, oh, he was harassing other party members. Like, really? Look at Nick Griffin, right? The only thing he harasses is his blood pressure, right? That's it. What could he have done that was so horrific, even the other, like, BNP party members were going, nah, mate, you're a disgrace, you need help, right? I've got an inkling about what he did. Here's what I think, right? Now, if you remember correctly, Nick Griffin, he stepped down from the leadership in July, right? So that means whatever he did had to be between July and now, right? Between July and October. He had to do something that just annoyed everyone else in the BNP. And here's what I think he did. I think this August, Nick Griffin secretly went to the Notting Hill Carnival and enjoyed himself. That's what it is. Now, you can't do that if you're in the BNP, can you? That's like a UKIP member watching the Eurovision Song Contest, you know what? A Lib Dem member sticking to their principles. You don't do it, right? You just don't do it, right? I think he went to the carnival, had a good time, and the other members of the BNP found out, and they were like, no, we can't be having that, Nick. No, we saw you, okay? We've got eyes everywhere, okay? That's how I know, right? What's that? What? It wasn't you. Oh, so what? We all look alike now, do we? How ironic. We saw you singing and dancing, you know, laughing, bumping and grinding, singing along to Bob Marley's No Woman, No Cry while holding a piece of jerk chicken in your hand. We saw you, okay? We saw you flirting with that old West Indian lady. No, okay? The last reason why I feel sorry for Nick Griffin is because, like, as weird as it sounds, there was a tiny part of me that was thinking about voting for him at the last general election, right? Yeah, I know that sounds stupid, but... Okay, let me explain myself, because I can feel the tension straight away, right? Do you remember when he was running for the general election, he had his famous repatriation policy, right? He said that he was willing to pay all ethnic minorities up to £20,000 to repatriate. Now, the thing is, if you look up the definition of the word repatriate, it means to return to your place of birth. Not origin, birth. Now, the thing is, my origin is obviously West Indian, right? But I was born in Hammersmith. Does that mean if Nick Griffin had won the general election, he was going to pay me £20,000 for what is a £2.50 train journey? Gets my vote. But I think one thing we've learned from the whole Nick Griffin character over the years is that there is a fine line between patriotism and racism, right? Sometimes it goes too far, it turns into racism. But in having said that, on the flip side, I think there are times when, like, things are said that might sound racist, but it's not always racist, right? I'll give you an example of what I mean, right? I was on a stag do not too long ago, and we ended up going to a gentleman's club. This one act comes on. Now, her whole theme was like dominatrix, having power over men, right? She walks on stage, she's got like chains, she's got like a massive whip, and she starts like walking up and down the stage and lashing it and going, who's going to worship me? And we're just sitting there, you know, watching the show. Then out of nowhere, she picks me up, okay? She walks up to in front of me, lashes her whip, and she goes, are you going to be my slave? If that was anyone else, I guarantee it wouldn't have been a problem, right? But because, just by coincidence, I happened to be the only black guy in the whole room, all the other men just went, ooh! I've never seen so many men panic in a strip club, right? What started out as a nice night out turned into a scene from Django Unchained. Right? And then the girl, she must have been British because she panicked. She realised what she said. She went, I didn't mean that. I mean, it's not because, you know, right? And it was like she was scared to then say the word black in case you thought it would add to the racism, right? But I wasn't offended. I was cool. But she was like, oh, no, I'm sorry. When I said slaves, I didn't mean, you know, it's not because, you know, you're from, you know, where you're from. Right? And all I could think was, they have slavery in Hammersmith? You guys have been lovely. Thank you. Good night.
So, please welcome Mitch Benn.
Hello.
You might recall back in February, the zoo in Copenhagen caused some upset by shooting one of their own giraffes, chainsawing it to bits and feeding it to the lions in full view of the public. Well, this week it's emerged that a wildlife park in Switzerland has been addressing the problem of overpopulation amongst its herds of deer and wild boar by feeding them to the public in its restaurant. Well, it's an angle, isn't it? We're going to the zoo tomorrow. Would you like to go?
to see what's on the menu tomorrow, cause you never know. We're going to the zoo tomorrow for exotic feasts unknown. If you bring a gun to the zoo tomorrow, they'll let you pick your own. Cause we're going to the zoo, 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 for animals to chew, 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 and also in stew, stew, stew. They do it at the zoo. Ospreys, eggs and condor breast, endangered species taste the best. Siberian tigers we have et, we haven't tried the pandas yet. We're going to the zoo tomorrow, come get on the bus. No better place than the zoo tomorrow for animal lovers like us.
So, a Mumsnet survey this week that you may have seen gave us the horrifying news that household chores are not shared evenly between the sexes. Would you believe it?
It came as a shock to us, yes. I can tell.
So, we wanted to test this. So, we've asked one male and one female from our audience here tonight to come up and do a household chore for us.
Hello, and what's your name?
Olana.
Olana.
Olana, and your name is, sir?
Nigel.
Nigel, do you feel you do your share of household chores?
Well, I live alone, so it's me.
Means that Nigel is already a winner. Right, so...
We haven't told you what you're doing yet. So essentially, you get one bag of rubbish each and you have to sort it into the various different types of recycling.
Yes. Start the minute from now. Right, we're off. OK.
Okay. That's an interesting choice, Nigel.
Okay.
You put paper on top of a plastic... Is that card?
That.
Oh, it's card. Okay, I'm sorry. No, he's right.
Don't worry.
You're doing well. Well done, Nigel.
Oh, hello. What's that? Right, clear the theatre.
Well done. Oh, okay.
That's it.
Well done.
Please.
Okay, so now...
Okay.
Well, I think this is rather good. This is obvious. You haven't taken the lid off this coffee cup, which upsets
me. So you have to mark you down for that.
Yeah.
In our area, you can put all your recycling in one bin, so you don't have to sort it. It's just got to be clean.
Have you cleaned any of this?
It's very clean.
Okay. I think Nigel hasn't made quite so many errors, but I think actually Olana has done a vast amount more, haven't
they? So, who thinks Olana has recycled more efficiently? Shout rubbish!
Rubbish!
And who thinks Nigel has recycled more efficiently? Shout rubbish!
Rubbish!
So, Nigel is the winner. Well done. Thank you very much for listening. Good night! You've been listening to The Now Show, starring Steve Punt and Guy Dennis, with John Holmes, Nathan Caton, Pippa Evans and Mitch Benn. It was written by the cast with additional material from Gareth Quinn, Jane Lammercraft, Tom Crowley and Gabby Hutchinson-Crouch. It was devised with Bill Dare and the producer was Alexandra Smith. That was The Now Show from Friday Night Comedy on BBC Radio 4. If you've enjoyed this download, why not visit the Radio 4 website, where you'll find other programmes to download and keep forever, entirely free.